mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The author of The Politics of Heroin, CIA Complicity in Global Drug Trade, Alfred W. McCoy, professor, will be joining us coming up in the next segment for the balance of the hour. Then we have a Second Amendment legislative update, very important, a lot of new developments, with the executive director of Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt, coming up in the third hour. We'll have open phones throughout the broadcast. Right now, let's go back to your calls. Leslie in Virginia, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. This morning when I woke up, I listened to ABC, the affiliate WMAL radio, and I heard the details. This is Maine News about Charlie Chain's court filings from his wife. He's suffering from paranoia and delusional remarks because of the his statements about vaccines and the 911 event.
That's right. His children must be taken because he's delusional. He believes that formula is bad for children's brains. That's mainstream news, that it doesn't give them the fatty acids they need. He's very evil. He thinks mercury in vaccines is bad, and he believes that 9/11 is very suspicious.
Now, as a Virginian, Alex, ABC, I suggest that they cover Warner, Senator Warner's palimony settlement from his first wife, and that involved that she also had to give the Atoka farm in Middleburg, Virginia to him. And in 1997, he married actress Liz Taylor, but he lost his initial bid in the primary here in Roanoke to a Southern politician named Mr. Obershain, who suffered a fatal small little plane crash shortly after through the default. So Senator Warner ended up as a GO nomination for the senatorial race that he won in 78.
Yeah, he's on the Senate Armed Services Committee. Very powerful.
My suggestion to ABC is this. Did Liz Taylor have to pay off Warner like his first wife?
Yeah, you know, I don't know, but I really appreciate your call. Let's go ahead and talk to Ed in Pennsylvania. Ed, go ahead.
Hello, Alex.
Hi.
I don't know if you remember the 70s where you had to stand in line for gas.
Yes, I remember the oil crisis.
Well, about 2 months ago, you mentioned about getting a backup car. And I would like to suggest to you to get a diesel, maybe. And diesel fuel is very easy to store. You know, just in case you got to get to work and stuff.
Yeah, but there's less places, fewer places to get diesel. But you're right, I think it does store longer.
Yeah, you could put it like my heating tanks. I could run my heating fuel is diesel fuel, and you could put in.
Diesel has historically been less than regular gasoline, but now it's more.
Yeah, I know you don't have the time like I do, but I get Chinese used cooking oil. I've been running it in an old Mercedes station wagon right now.
Really? It's working well for you?
It's running great. I just started it about a month ago.
Well, gas prices are going to be going down because George Bush is on the job. He's investigating. He's investigating, so everything's going to be okay now.
Yeah, the weasel in the hen house, yes.
Yes, the chief weasel is investigating the foxes.
I just figured, you know, that might be a good alternative for you to get a diesel car or truck. They're very clean. They're burning very cleaner now, the newer ones and stuff.
Oh, I've seen a lot of diesel cars and trucks driving around, and they're not belching that black smoke like they were a few years ago.
No, they go to 0 to 60 in, you know, like 7 seconds. Mercedes really has their act together on diesel.
Well, I don't think I'll be buying a Mercedes anytime soon.
Jeep Liberty, four-wheel drive?
Yeah, I spend, I don't drive cars quite that fancy. I just want good transportation. Listen, I appreciate your call. Interesting discussion. We'll come back and go to our guest, The Politics of Heroin, CIA Complicity in the Global Drug Trade, Alfred W. McCoy, historian. We're honored to have him with us, and we'll get into some more of the crimes of this government, the private corporations that service it and control it. On the other side, the websites are InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. There is a secret that holds the world's destiny in its grasp. Hello, my friends. Alex Jones here. Learn that secret with my new film, Martial Law, 9/11 Rise of the Police State. Martial Law plumbs the depths of the New World Order's ideology, their philosophy. Out of the ashes of the September 11th tragedy, a dark empire of war and tyranny has risen. The Constitution has been shredded, and America is now a police state. This film exposes not just who was behind the 9/11 attacks, but the roots and history of its orchestrators. Martial Law is a blazing spotlight piercing the electronic Berlin Wall of controlled corporate media. Plumb the depths of the elite's minds, their ideology, their driving philosophy, and uncover the power-mad cult of death that is sworn to turn the Earth into a prison planet. Discover the document of truth for yourself before it's too late. Call toll-free to get a copy of Martial Law. 1-888-253-3139. Or visit InfoWars.com and the secure shopping cart. That's InfoWars.com or 888-253-3139. Or watch the film right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as trimethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious, crystal clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements. Get a 2-pack for only $96 or a 4-pack for only $175. Call New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. And get this, they guaranteed my success in writing. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, my friends, now well into the second hour. It's the Genesis Communications Radio Network. In just a minute or two, we'll be talking to author, professor, historian Alfred W. McCoy. The founding dynasties that run our country today, the Skull and Bones outfit in 1832 was openly and publicly set up with opium money. And they controlled this trade, the laudanum trade, the snake oil trade, for really the next 100 years. And then they lost their monopoly as more companies began shipping it in. And so these very dynasties that had made their fortunes and become very politically powerful from drug money then began to try to criminalize drugs, not to stop drugs from flowing in, but to be able to control the police forces that they'd bought and paid for to go after their competition. By making drugs illegal, the prices then, of course, with black market rates skyrocketed. And then we fast forward to Vietnam. Imagine secrecy, the CIA, all the aircraft they controlled, right in the middle of the greatest saturation of poppy-producing, opium-producing growth centers. And then floods of it hitting the United States and Europe. And then, of course, after the valiant invasion in 2001, 2002 of Afghanistan, we've seen a many-fold increase to record levels of opium that is then turned into heroin pouring into Eastern Europe, Western Europe, and the United States. Oh, but the government, they wear nice fancy military uniforms. They wear $3,000 suits. They go to church every Sunday. They wouldn't do that. And then if your children are dumb enough to use their drugs, the very industries that control the private prisons are funded in, with laundered drug money. They then arrest your children. They then arrest your family members and put them in these prisons where they then work for 20 cents an hour displacing American workers. So the drug dealers, the military-industrial complex and its private controllers are making money and getting control at every level. But that's my view historically on it. Many years ago I read, or I should be more honest, I scanned through, it's, I don't know how many pages, almost 600 plus, The Politics of Heroin, CIA Complicity in the Global Drug Trade. Alfred W. McCoy is a noted historian and current professor of history in the Center for Southeast Asian Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He received an undergraduate degree from Columbia University and his Ph.D. in Southeastern Asian History from Yale University. And, of course, he primarily researches and writes about the Philippines history and the Golden Triangle drug trades of opium and heroin. And his Politics of Heroin in Southeast Asia was a landmark work documenting how the CIA aided, abetted, and controlled the drug trade for its own enrichment and geopolitical purposes. And he's now come out with a brand new book, which I can't wait to read, A Question of Torture, CIA Interrogation from the Cold War to the War on Terror, 2006. And we have links to how to get the book up on Infowars.com. Professor McCoy, it's a great honor to have you with us, sir.
Mr. Jones, a pleasure to be with you.
Please break down how you first discovered the narcotics trade's connections to the elite in this country, the Anglo-American establishment, and maybe go back even before the 60s, if you'd like to some of its roots, and then I'd like to talk about the politics of heroin, and then I want to spend the second half of the interview talking about your new book.
Sure. First of all, my perspective on it and my historiography, my analytical explanation for why this happens is more impersonal and less personalized than your own. What I try and do is track the impersonal historical forces, bureaucratic, geopolitical, sometimes even ecological, that constantly make opium and heroin and even cocaine parts of CIA covered operations since the start of the Cold War. And if I could explain what happened historically. In 1948, in one of history's supreme ironies, the Iron Curtain came crashing down along the Asian Opium Zone, which at that point stretched for 5,000 miles from Turkey across to Thailand. And throughout the next 40 years of the Cold War, the CIA probed the soft underbelly of communism. And they mounted periodic covert operations, and in each one of these operations, they were mobilizing tribal mercenaries or militia in remote highland regions where they were under the control of ethnic warlords. And so, with Burma in the 1950s, Laos in the 1960s, and Afghanistan from 1979 to 1992, and then most recently since 2001. The CIA mounted these periodic covert operations. In each case, the local warlord used the CIA's arms, logistics, and above all, political protection to be transformed into a powerful drug lord. And in each case, the CIA's priority above all was the covert operation. They suffered in each case from what I call mission myopia. They were focused on getting the job done, and they ignored the downstream consequences of their alliance with now powerful drug lords and their covering up for that drug lord. And the net result was that today the three major sources of illicit opium and heroin in the world today, Afghanistan, Burma, and Laos in that order, are the three former CIA covert warfare battlegrounds. And that's causal. That's just not a coincidence. Now, the politics of that persists right at the present. In October 2001, when the CIA decided to mount an operation to overthrow the Taliban government in Afghanistan, instead of sending in conventional U.S. military forces for a formal conquest and occupation, what we did was we sent in $70 million in smaller bills. We helicoptered that in. And the Afghan tribal warlords whom we fought with in the war against the Soviet Union They broke open their arsenals, they armed their fighters, and they overthrew the Taliban, backed by U.S. air power, in a matter of weeks. That created, of course, a political vacuum across the whole of Afghanistan. And these former provincial warlords have been driven out of power by the Taliban, swept across the country, and picked up where they left off. They reimposed the drug trade, and in 2001, Afghanistan had produced about 180 tons of opium. Within a year, it was up over 2,000 tons, and today it's around the 4,000-ton mark. So it's gone from 180 tons under the Taliban to about 4,000 tons under the current Karzai government.
Now, sir, I'd like to go back, Professor, for just a moment, because in every operation, take Gladio, and I'm digressing for the listeners, oh, the Soviets are going to take over, and they're staging terror attacks in Europe to blame it on us, so we've got to stage terror attacks to blame it on them. We've got to become more evil than the devil to defeat the devil. Oh, my gosh, the Soviets are going to come in and use the drug trade to fund them, the red drug trade. We've got to go in and make friends with all these people in this multi-thousand, 5,000-mile belt of opium production that you talked about from Turkey into Southeast Asia, Indochina. All of this happens, and oh, we've got to, you know, put in our drug dealers or support our local tribes so that they can be a bulwark against communism, and I'm a top general or I'm a CIA operative, I might as well make a few $100 million for myself, but it's for America. And then they've got the nerve back here at home to kick down our doors looking for drugs that they helped bring into this country to begin with.
The contradictions in that area became most apparent. Okay, they became most apparent during the Contra operation. Look, let's take the Afghan operation. The dots get pretty distant, so that connecting them sometimes becomes a bit of a stretch. Now, during the Afghan operation from 1979 to 1992, here's how the traffic operated: Mujahideen fighters and their families in the liberated zones inside the Soviet-occupied Afghanistan were ordered to plant a revolutionary tax in the form of opium. They delivered that to the Mujahideen commanders, who shipped it across the border into the northwest frontier province of Pakistan. They are operating under the protection of ISI, Pakistani Inter-Service Intelligence, the CIA's ally. The traffickers transformed the heroin, opium into heroin. Now, the next problem was that these were not well-connected criminal organizations. These were fanatical Muslim fighters. This was Pakistan military intelligence, so who could broker the drugs for them? Well, they turned to the Sicilian Mafia, not the American Mafia, but the Sicilian Mafia, and that was in the 1980s. We got the so-called Pizza Connection cases of nice middle-aged Sicilian immigrant couples running pizza parlors from Boston, Massachusetts to Milton, Wisconsin, being arrested, charged, and convicted for using those pizza parlors as front to distribute this Pakistan-Afghani heroin that was coming into the country. The connections are pretty indirect, okay, from the pizza parlors right to the poppy fields. But in Central America during the same period, the connections were far more direct, okay? Just geography changed the situation and made the contradictions in this covert warfare policy for the first time really clear. It was very simple. What happened was this. The CIA needed a forward logistics base for the shipment of arms into the frontline areas of Honduras. And they formed a working alliance with the top drug trafficker in the Caribbean, a man named Alan Hyde. At the time that the CIA formed its alliance with him in the mid-1980s, he was known as a Class A violator. There were intelligence files on him in the possession of Customs, the U.S. Defense Department, the Drug Enforcement Administration, the CIA, in short, the entire U.S. intelligence community knew that this guy was the biggest cocaine smuggler in the Caribbean. He even had, among his 35 ships on the high seas, moving cocaine from Colombia across the Caribbean in the United States. He had one ship on consignment from the Colombian drug lord, Pablo Escobar. In other words, this guy was dirty and everybody knew he was dirty. We formed an alliance, and from roughly 1987 to 1992, he was protected from any investigation. At the same time, he was flooding our country with heroin. With cocaine. At that point, the contradictions.
I tell you what, Professor, we've got a break. Stay right there, and we'll come right back to you after this quick break. We're talking to Alfred W. McCoy, one of the preeminent experts on our government shipping and narcotics.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Here it is, folks, the 2006 Red Book, the most comprehensive edition ever published. Midas Resources believes our clients should be as informed as possible. It includes a history of U.S. coins, the actual mintages, the grading standards. Learn the stability of real money. Protect yourself from fiat currencies. They are instruments of debt. Feel the comfort and safety of real money. Midas will send you the 2006 Red Book and a genuine silver dollar for just $22.95 delivered. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237. Don't be lost in a sea of confusion. Get the 2006 Red Book. Help steer your own financial ship. Call Midas now, 1-800-686-2237.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is unavailable. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean, real hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Professor Alfred W. McCoy is our guest. Got a new book out on torture, The Question of Torture, CIA Interrogation from the Cold War to the War on Terror. We could have him on for 3 hours, but he's flying out to Germany here in just a few hours, just about the drug trade. But I want to get into torture some, too. Boiling it down, sir, I mean, I've got photos of here in your book when you're in Southeast Asia, you know, with the with some of the tribes, some of the biggest drug dealers. They're on record. I've seen them in video interviews admitting that they're biggest buyers of the U.S. government. How did you get into Southeast Asia? I mean, you've got a lot of bravery.
Well, during the Vietnam War, Muscle Laos was a free fire zone. So what I did was I flew into Vientiane on a standard commercial flight. Basically, I was going around the world. I made 1.5 laps around the globe, tracking the heroin trail. from Europe and Southeast Asia into the United States. First, the French Connection. Second of all, the Golden Triangle drug trade, and the first of all, the way that that was decimating the U.S. Army in Vietnam. So in order to track the heroin trail, I first of all went to Vietnam, and I studied the distribution of drugs, and I found that there were three dominant syndicates in control of the drug traffic in South Vietnam. They were controlled by the three top people in the South Vietnamese government and their military acolytes. And at every fire base and club and barracks across the whole of South Vietnam, heroin was available. It was incredibly pure, incredibly cheap.
And think about how immoral that is, addicting our servicemen to this. Oh, yeah, that's how you support the troops. Is it safe to say that much of the Vietnam War, even back to the French trying to stay there, was about continuing to control the opium?
No, yes and no, okay? The visible conflict, of course, was for control of the political destiny in the government of Vietnam.
And oil. But,
at that point, there wasn't much. But the drugs were an important part of the covert warfare, of the maneuvering by intelligence agencies in order to get the money, in order to mobilize an anti-communist coalition. By 1971, about 34% of all American servicemen serving in Vietnam were heroin addicts. That's one-third of the U.S. Army fighting in Vietnam. By my calculations, there were at that point probably more American heroin addicts in the U.S. Army in South Vietnam than there were in the entire United States. And all of them were supplied by our Southeast Asian allies. So having studied the distribution in South Vietnam, I went north into Laos, and I simply hitchhiked up the highway into the hills, and then I got off, and with an interpreter and photographer, we hiked through the hills, and we went into opium-producing villages, and we went farm to farm, house to house, and we asked the farmers how much they grew and how they marketed, and it was a very consistent reply that each farm was producing about 5 to 10 kilograms of raw opium every year. At the end of harvest, they took it down to the helipad, where Air America helicopters, the CIA's company, came in and landed, and then militia officers, tribal militia officers in the CIA's secret army got off, paid cash for the opium, loaded the opium on the helicopters, and flew off to the main CIA base at Long Chang. And there were several heroin labs in the country. The largest heroin lab, and with the most famous logo of all time, was operated by the commander-in-chief of the Royal Laotian Army. He got over 90% of his budget from USAID. He had the world's largest heroin lab. He was cranking out about 100 kilograms of pure heroin a week, and all of that was destined for U.S. forces fighting in South Vietnam.
Now, you know, we've got to kind of condense this, Professor, because we don't have a lot of time with you. One more segment coming up. Fast forwarding to cocaine in the 80s. I mean, I've interviewed so many DEA agents, so many CIA agents, you know, who were there unloading the cocaine or witnessing it, MENA, you name it. It just makes the whole drug war a complete fraud that our government is fostering it and controlling it.
Well, what happens is there is consistently a contradiction between the fighting the Cold War, now the War on Terror, and fighting the drug war. And every single time that the question has been called, basically what's happened is we've sacrificed the drug war in order to fight the Cold War and now the War on Terror. In Afghanistan, the contradiction is just the latest instance. Basically, look, at the peak of the cocaine epidemic, when Colombia was awash in the cartels, there were attacks on the Ministry of Justice. Pablo Escobar's secuestros, his assassins, were cutting a swath through the society. At peak, cocaine only represented 3%, that's 1-3% of the gross national product of Colombia. Today, according to UN estimates, opium and heroin account for 60% of gross national product in Afghanistan. Okay? So the provincial powers, the warlords that are fighting, supplying troops that are fighting alongside U.S. soldiers, everybody in power, excluding President Karzai, and just a few of his cabinet, everybody's implicated in the traffic in Afghanistan.
Stay right there, sir. I want to continue along this line, and then it ties into your new book concerning torture. We'll be right back.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using the Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free, 866-885-6625. 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
For months now, you've been hearing about the incredible health benefits of Zango, the functional health beverage made from the whole fruit of mangosteen. What you probably didn't know is that Zango joined forces with the leading manufacturer and distributor of functional health beverages like Capri Sun, Sobe, Mystic, and Red Bull to create the fastest growing business opportunity in America today. Are you sick of barely having enough money? Are you tired of working so hard yet feeling like you'll never get ahead? Are you ready to start investing in your own business instead of somebody else's? Whatever it is you seek, Zango could be the special company that helps you achieve your hopes and dreams. So take matters into your own hands. Create a future that doesn't depend on a fickle 401k and lateral promotions. Zango is what you are looking for. Find out more by calling 888-203-6633 or visit mangosteenmarket.com. That's M-A-N-G-O-S-T-E-E-N market.com. Call 888-203-6633 today.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We got about 18 minutes before our guest has got to leave us. And I will take a call from Bill in Baltimore, maybe a few others, specifically for Professor Alfred W. McCoy. Professor, I've studied the elements of the government shipping and the drugs. It's $250 billion plus industry a year in this country. Meanwhile, they're pushing legal drugs on the children in the schools and adults. It's a nightmare. Just your personal view on the drug war and where you see all this going in the future from your 30, 40 years of studying this.
Sure. Illicit drugs have become a vast global commodity. According to a UN study, the global illicit drug trade is now bigger than the trade in textiles, steel, or automobiles, okay? It's about 8% of world trade. It's become a powerful commodity that can corrupt police forces, transform weak governments into veritable narco states. And it's only going to get worse. And the reason is very simple. There is an inbuilt contradiction in the drug war, okay? We move about the globe fighting the global drug trade in sectors. We crack down on, let's say, opium production in Colombia. We attack it in country by country, piece by piece. What happens is very simple. We move in and we defoliate, let's say, an opium crop in Mexico or Colombia or Burma, and we wipe out a portion of the production. The demand, in fact, remains constant, or it's actually going up.
So that's like McDonald's knocking out Burger King, or just going up against their competition.
Well, no, it's a deeper, partly, but it goes like this. Okay, demand is constant and going up. There's a shortfall in supply. That raises the global illicit price to farmers and traffickers around the globe. So what happens in the next crop year is that, connected by the invisible tendrils of the illicit drug market, and the UN has actually found this to operate, okay, that peasants in Laos will respond to a shortfall in supply in Colombia. So elsewhere around the world, production goes up. So every battle in the drug war produces increased production. When we started the first of our drug wars back in 1971 under President Nixon, global illicit drug production was about 1,000 tons. Today it's between 5 or 6,000. And that 5 to 6-fold increase in the last 36 years has been due in large part to the drug war itself. It's not only not working, in fact, it's counterproductive. It stimulates. Each intervention, each prohibition stimulates production. Okay, and then more and more drugs flow into this country, and we have a doomsday machine with mandatory minimums. More police sweep the streets, they put more people in prison, and so it goes.
While the crisis is being created predominantly by our own government.
In part, yes, because of not just our own government, by the UN as well. This is the supremely irrational policy. Now, I was at a conference in Paris sponsored by the Ministry, French Ministry of Defense. And I got into a real no-holds-barred battle against the number two man in the UN Office of Drugs and Crime. And he just simply refused to admit that the U.S. and the UN policy at its base is fundamentally irrational, that it's compounding the problem every day they do their job. Now, what's the solution? Well, you can't undo the entire prohibition regime of narcotics, because it's inbuilt into literally hundreds of international treaties involving the world community, and the United States is a party to those treaties. It's got federal laws, state laws. But what we can do in every state by state, is what the people of California have done. They did Proposition 36. All you do is you say something very simple. You don't have to worry about, you say drugs are a crime. Now what's the penalty? You simply say mandatory treatment. And that proposition has put tens of thousands of people, kept them out of the prisons, put them into mandatory treatment where they actually are getting treatment and they can live their lives in their own homes, work their jobs, they just got to go to their treatment program. It's a very simple intermediate solution. It's not going to fix the problem. That's beyond our capacity. But Proposition 36, that works. Gets us out of the whole drug war machine.
Well, we've got to do it. Your new book, I mean, the horrors that we're now witnessing, John Yoo, one of the lawyers in the White House, came out at a CFR meeting. We've had the recording. We've interviewed the professor that debated him and said, yeah, we're allowed to torture children sexually in front of their parents. That's a good thing. We have Alberto Gonzalez, now the Attorney General, when he was Chief White House Counsel, writing memos saying we can torture people to death if we just don't call it torture. We have these black op sites in Eastern Europe. A CIA agent allegedly leaks that, because you have to leak something that's criminal. You have an obligation to do that. They're now fired her, talking about arresting her. Bush says he's above the law. And then we have the former chief commander of Delta Force going public saying that they're torturing because Cheney likes it and it's to get false confessions. Your new book, A Question of Torture, CIA Interrogations from the Cold War to the War on Terror. Get into that for us, Professor.
Sure. First of all, the CIA has, since the start of the Cold War, been engaged in the research and propagation of torture. Right at the start of the Cold War, when the CIA was established in 1947, there was a belief in Washington, and a solid belief, that the CIA had somehow cracked the code of human consciousness. They had probed the mysteries of the human mind, and they had superior techniques for both mass propaganda, individual interrogation, and even programming assassins. Our ignorance of the dynamics of human consciousness back then were profound. And out of fear, the CIA, right from the start, was authorized to conduct research and to engage in torture. And the CIA conducted two kinds of research. Everybody's heard about the CIA drug experiments, the LSD party houses, and all the rest. Okay, that was part of a program to crack the code of human consciousness, which at peak in the 1950s reached $1 billion a year and involved literally hundreds of secret research projects. Now, what happened was the CIA did most of the drug research in-house. And within a decade, the CIA established that all of the exotic techniques, hypnosis, electroshock, and drugs, both sodium pentothal and LSD and THC, marijuana, none of it worked. That didn't work. But they outsourced the boring behavioral research to the country's top universities, Harvard, Princeton, Yale, and others. And the nation's most brilliant behavioral scientists came up with a new form of torture, the first real breakthrough in the cruel science of pain in centuries. And they discovered psychological torture founded on two basic techniques, sensory disorientation and self-inflicted pain. When you look at those Abu Ghraib photos, all you see time and again is a repetition of these two foundational CIA torture techniques. Let's take that most famous, most iconic of all the Abu Ghraib photos. The man standing on the box, hooded, arms extended, fake electro wires hanging from his arms, okay? He's hooded for sensory disorientation. He's standing for self-inflicted pain. Those are the two basic CIA psychological techniques. To that, we've added attack on agricultural sensitivity on the war on terror. All right, now, the CIA propagated that within the U.S. intelligence community. They had it codified by 1963. And then for the next 30 years, right to the end of the Cold War, they propagated within the U.S. intelligence community, and they trained allied agencies around the globe in these techniques. At the same time...
Well, look at the School of Americas.
That's a part of a thing called Project X. From 1966 to 1991, the U.S. Army Intelligence Command ran a thing called Project X, which was a top-secret project to transmit the lessons learned in counterinsurgency and interrogation from South Vietnam to Latin America. And there were three ways of doing this. First of all, they had the School of America. Second, they had mobile U.S. Army training teams. And third, they had a mail order course that literally sent out thousands of manuals instructing all, it's written in Spanish, with complete curriculum in interrogation with techniques that, upon review in 1991 by the Defense Department, found that many of the techniques were outrageously illegal, violations of both international and U.S. law. All of those manuals were recalled, the thousands of them. All were destroyed except a single file copy. But nonetheless, for 25 years, we disseminated those techniques. Now, under the Bush administration, what's changed? Something has happened since Abu Ghraib, something that's very different. We had this, what I call, cultural contradiction throughout the Cold War. On the one hand, we were one of the authors of the Geneva Conventions. We were one of the authors of the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Both of these banned torture very explicitly, okay? So we were leaders in the global campaign to abolish torture. At the same time, we were secretly, covertly practicing it, okay? Now, under the Bush administration, once the Abu Ghraib photos came out, the Bush administration decided that they would, in fact, conduct an historic change, that they would embrace torture. They would make it a formal weapon in the arsenal of American power. And this is a fundamental change. And this has sparked a profound political battle in this country.
Well, the incredible thing is, while at first saying, hey, we're allowed to do this to keep you safe, trying to sell it to us, they would then instruct the military to hold court-martials with tribunals and send people to prison and I've interviewed Janice Karpinski and others who were barred from going into those CIA-controlled wings, and then they'd even try to burn her when she wasn't involved, knowing that if they prosecuted someone who was innocent, she'd be found innocent, and that'd be a good whitewash. But, I mean, certainly, sir, you've written a book about it. I haven't read your new book yet, but I hope to. I mean, can you comment on John Yoo's psychopathic statements, Alberto Gonzalez? I mean, once you accept torture, I guess we can expect that it will go to Joseph Mengele style, we're going to torture kids if we want to.
It actually revolves around one technique, okay? In 1994, when the United States ratified the UN Convention Against Torture, the basic document, what we did was President Clinton sent that treaty to Congress, and he included in that four paragraphs of diplomatic so-called reservations, which is to say, we ratify the treaty except this. When you read those exceptions carefully and you compare them to the CIA's psychological torture techniques, which they had developed and propagated for the previous 30 years at such great expense, what you realize is what we did is we split the treaty down the middle. We said physical torture with all its brutality is illegal, but we reserve the right to engage in psychological torture. We do not consider psychological torture to be torture. And so when you look at all the techniques that are used at Guantanamo, all the enhanced techniques that have been authorized by the Bush administration for the CIA, they're all psychological torture. Psychological torture is very elusive, very deceptive, very difficult to discern. Why? Because when it's physical torture, there are clear marks. There is a vast biomedical literature. Doctors can stand up in courts and say, that bruise means the falling was done. That is a level of pain that's not just inhumane. That's torture. But when it's in the mind, it's invisible. See, there's no standard. Lieutenant General Randall Schmidt of the U.S. Army investigated Guantanamo for the Pentagon. He reported to Congress last summer. And what he said, look, he said, when it's physical, it's very clear. When it's psychological, it's unclear. And he reviewed the torture that was in, that was inflicted upon the so-called 20th hijacker who's held at Guantanamo, a man named Mohammed Al-Qahtani. He found that he was subjected to 160 days of total isolation. He was subjected to cold so extreme he had to be hospitalized. He was subjected to psychological abuse, guards screaming at him that his mother and sister were whores, dogs that growled at him, water thrown on him, ladies' undergarments on his head. He was totally attacked. But General Schmidt said that the sum of this was not torture. He said it was, however, inhumane, okay, which is a lower standard of
now,
abuse.
Now, Professor, at the same time, that's the stuff they're admitting to. Now, we know they've beaten people to death. We know they use dogs. We know they table them, putting their head underwater. We know they're killing people at these secret sites. I mean, if this is the stuff that we know about, how much worse does it get?
I think we know how bad it is. I mean, that's about it. I mean,
are you aware of what John Yoo, White House counsel, said?
Yeah, I know. He's made extreme statements throughout.
Torturing children sexually, I mean, publicly.
Because that's in the realm of psychological torture. It's, we haven't prohibited that. Look,
but I mean, what's wrong with these people? That's so alien to me.
Anybody investigates this, okay? For example, Guantanamo, which is done by CIA and military at Guantanamo formally, all right? And it's all very elaborate psychological torture. The International Cross made repeated visits to Guantanamo from 2002 to 2004, and they said that this system, okay, is torture. The UN Human Rights Commission, in February of this year, delivered a report in which they interviewed people who had been released from Guantanamo and talked to them in detail about their treatment. The UN,
well, what about menstruating prostitutes raping these men?
Yes, that's part of the psychological technique. But what they worked out was that they believe that Arab males are particularly vulnerable to sexual identity and to gender identity, so they attack them. And they've also gone further. They now have military psychologists that actually review the medical files and that do individual observations.
So this is open mind control.
It's absolutely explicit. Okay, now, Kofi Annan, the Secretary General of the United Nations, has in a historic statement called on the United States to close Guantanamo. The European Parliament has called on...
But meanwhile, a bunch of European countries are accepting the intelligence and helping with the rendition flights.
See, of course, and that's why there's this investigation by Dick Marty, by the Council of Europe, that produces these wimpy reports because they're caught in the contradiction as well. Because the rendition flights, and the black sites that were definitely in Poland, may have been in Romania, that those are total violations of the European Charter of Human Rights. If they actually found that Poland had a black site, Poland would have to be suspended from the EU. So what you've got is the EU as a body has a very strict prohibition of human rights abuse, but the individual sovereign states have been working with the United States in these techniques and tactics, and there is the contradiction.
All right, Professor, I wanted to take a call or two, but...
One last point, okay?
I was about to say, we're out of time. We're breaking in 1 minute.
Here's the last point. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. There's another form of torture practiced by the FBI called empathetic interrogation, developed by the Marine Corps in World War II, practiced by the FBI since. It is effective. torture doesn't work. You get information, but it's polluted information. Most of it's bad information. It's useless. It doesn't.
Well, that's what the generals and interrogators have said. Plus, you become evil when you start torturing.
Of course. It's yeah. You know, the greatest...
Let me say this, though, Professor. Torture works if you're wanting false confessions to use for political aims.
Yeah, that you can get. You will get al-Libi telling you that Saddam Hussein trained al-Qaeda in weapons of mass destruction so that Colin Powell can stand up in front of the UN and say we have verified intelligence saying that.
But any fool knows you don't listen to evidence garnered from torture. Everybody knows it's worthless.
Of course, every professional interrogator will tell you that torture is useless. You have to establish empathy.
And then, if your troops get captured, they get tortured, and what can you say?
That's exactly it. Furthermore...
Well, Professor, if you want to finish in the last 5 minutes of this hour, you can. If you got to go catch that plane, go ahead. It's your call.
I got to go, sir.
Okay, thank you for joining us. Can we have you back on when you get back?
Indeed, yeah. I'll be back next Monday, so you can certainly have me on.
Okay, Alfred W. McCoy, Professor, thank you.
Thank you very much, Alex.
Take care. All right, we'll come back and talk to Bill, who had a comment about this. Then we'll go to Ron, David, Shiloh, and others. We got another guest in 10 minutes.
What really happened September 11th, and who stands to gain? Alex Jones here, America. We answer these vital questions and much, much more in my newest and most explosive documentary yet, 911, The Road to Tyranny. In 2 hours and 24 minutes, we point a searing light of truth on the history of problem, reaction, solution. Brace yourselves as the New World Order program for world domination is blown wide open. A nightmarish post-September 11th world where the military and the police are merged. Witnesses, populations beg for national ID cards and, yes, even implantable microchips. Troops on the streets, foreign NATO aircraft in the skies. Psychotic UN population control plans, and much, much more. This is one film you cannot afford to miss. Order 911 The Road to Tyranny today. Call toll-free 1-888-253-3139. That's 1-888-253-3139. Or order online at InfoWars.com or InfoWars.net. You see, Big Brother's afraid of this documentary. Order today and spread the word. America's future depends on the truth getting out.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
We got a big legislative update, some really scary new gun laws and regulations coming down. Larry Pratt, Executive Director, Gun Owners of America, joins us at 8 after in the next hour. In this segment, in that first little segment, we'll take calls. Before I go to Bill and David and Ron, I want to encourage all of you, the listeners, to go to the secure online video and bookstore at InfoWars.com, because these are the most powerful videos and books exposing the government drug trade, exposing the elite, exposing government-sponsored terror you're going to find anywhere. In fact, my film, Police State Through the Takeover, I confront General Barry McCaffrey, who was the drug czar at the time. I interview Terry Reid, a CIA agent who was witness to Bill Clinton drug dealing in MENA. That's just about 30 minutes of the two-hour film, but that gives you an idea of what we cover in these documentaries. So be sure and go to InfoWars.com. A bunch of big specials. There's, what, 14 different specials on the site where you can get my documentary films as low as $5.95 apiece. Please get them. Please make copies of my films. You can also get other videos like Loose Change 2, second edition. You can get, there's just so much up there. Go check out InfoWars.com or call toll free. They can answer all your questions and take your order over the phone. 1-888-253-3139. Or go to PrisonPlanet.tv. 15 cents a day, get a monthly subscription or get a yearly subscription. We've now been running for over 2 years, and you get 3 months free. All 14 of my films, my weekly TV reports, video reports in studio here. My book, Paul Watson's book, PrisonPlanet.tv. Right now, let's go to Bill in Baltimore. Sorry you couldn't talk to the professor, but we ran out of time. But you had a comment about government drug dealing.
Got a ton of comments, but like you probably do, Alex, you got a ton of friends and listeners. But I'm in Baltimore, and go to Google your $109 million or billion-dollar friend. Type in Baltimore heroin town. You get an old heroin town. 1 in 10 residents of Baltimore is addicted to heroin. Type in statistics on vacant housing in Baltimore. 46,000 houses are vacant. And my other question would be on legitimacy in government. You know, if we're talking about a big agency that's got a black budget and very little public review or very little oversight, how legitimate is that agency? I mean, we know people that do their jobs are legitimate for the government, but what about?
Well, sir, here's another example. They have a receptor blocker that cures people of opiate use 100%, but no one tells anyone about it. It's very safe. Instead, they put them on methadone, which is just another form of addiction. The government ships it in and uses it to turn America into a police state. No debating it. The government controls the majority of the narcotics. And the very same military-industrial complex then is pushing the Ritalin, the Prozac, all the rest of the legal drugs. It's a sick joke. We've got to decriminalize now.
That's very true, and we're just 35 minutes from the nation's capital and about an hour from the CIA. And we pay taxes, and a lot of times, you know, you see a lot of monkey business going right on next to the police station or in the neighborhood. But
yeah, it's a big joke.
If you talk to it, which is good.
Listen, people have a chemical problem. People get addicted. Thanks for the call. And then what makes it so dirty and criminal is that when you make drugs illegal, it adds a bunch of money into it. And so then people who are criminals, who'd be robbing banks or, you know, doing something else, they move into the drug trade. So these are real criminals in many cases that are going to prison and getting in trouble. And so the media looks at the shows you the scum and says, see, drugs are bad. But most of the people going to prison are just the innocent users. It's a sick joke. The war on drugs is only going to get bigger. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And we use more drugs than anybody else in the world. And there's a reason. Our government ships them in, and they run the drug war. And the bigger the drug war gets, the more drugs, the more abuse, the more use, the more everything. Simple. Ron and Bill, you're up next. Ron and David, you're up next. Get to both of you in the next segment. And we got Larry Pratt joining us for about 30 minutes, and then a bunch of other news I haven't even gotten to yet. You'll want to stay with us as we start the third hour.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645.